Chapter 28 The Madness of Mr. Crouch. Harry, Ron and Hermione went up to the Owlery after breakfast on Sunday to send a letter to Percy, asking, as Sirius had suggested, whether he had seen Mr. Crouch lately. They used Hedwig because it had been so long since she'd had a job. When they had watched her out of sight through the Owlery window, they proceeded down to the kitchen to give Dobby his new socks. The house elves gave them a very cheery welcome, bowing and curtsying and bustling around making tea again. Dobby was ecstatic about his present.
"Harry Potter is too good to Dobby,"
he squeaked, wiping large tears out of his enormous eyes. "You saved my life with that gillyweed, Dobby, you really did," said Harry. "No chance of more of those éclairs, is there?" said Ron, who was looking around at the beaming and bowing house elves.
"You've just had breakfast," said Hermione irritably,
but a great silver platter of éclairs was already zooming towards them, supported by four elves. "We should get some stuff to send up to Snuffles," Harry muttered.
"Good idea," said Ron. "Give Pig something to do. You couldn't give us a bit of extra food, could you?" he said to the surrounding elves, and they bowed delightedly and hurried off to get some more.
"Dobby, where's Winky?" said Hermione, who was looking around.
"Winky is over there by the fire, miss," said Dobby quietly, his ears drooping slightly.
"Oh, dear," said Hermione, as she spotted Winky. Harry looked over at the fireplace, too. Winky was sitting on the same stool as last time, but she had allowed herself to become so filthy that she was not immediately distinguishable from the smoke-blackened brick behind her. Her clothes were ragged and unwashed. She was clutching a bottle of butterbeer and swaying slightly on her stool, staring into the fire. As they watched her, she gave an enormous hiccup.
"Winky is getting through 6 bottles a day now,"
Dobby whispered to Harry.
"Well, it's not strong, that stuff," Harry said.
But Dobby shook his head.
"'Tis strong for a house elf, sir,"
he said. Winky hiccuped again. The elves who had brought the éclairs gave her disapproving looks as they returned to work.
"Winky is pining, Harry Potter,"
Dobby whispered sadly.
"Winky wants to go home. Winky still thinks Mr. Crouch is her master, sir, and nothing Dobby says will persuade her that Professor Dumbledore is her master now."
"Hey, Winky,"
said Harry, struck by a sudden inspiration, walking over and bending down to speak to her.
"You don't know what Mr. Crouch might be up to, do you? Because he stopped turning up to judge the Triwizard Tournament."
Winky's eyes flickered. Her enormous pupils focused on Harry. She swayed slightly again, and then said,
"Master is stopped coming."
"Yeah," said Harry. "We haven't seen him since the first task. The Daily Prophet saying he's ill." Winky swayed some more, staring blurrily at Harry.
"Master ill."
Her bottom lip began to tremble.
"But we're not sure if that's true," said Hermione quickly.
"Master is needing his Winky,"
whimpered the elf.
"Master cannot manage all by himself."
"Other people manage to do their own housework, you know, Winky," said Hermione severely.
"Winky is not only doing housework for Mr. Crouch,"
Winky squeaked indignantly, swaying worse than ever, and slopping butterbeer down her already heavily stained blouse.
"Master is trusting Winky with the most important, the most secret—"
"What?" said Harry. But Winky shook her head very hard, spilling more butterbeer down herself.
"Winky keeps her master's secrets,"
she said mutinously, swaying very heavily now, frowning up at Harry with her eyes crossed.
"You is nosing, you is."
"Winky must not talk like that to Harry Potter,"
said Dobby angrily.
"Harry Potter is brave and noble, and Harry Potter is not nosy. He is nosing into my master's private and secret. Winky is a good house elf. Winky keeps her silence. People trying to pry and poke."
Winky's eyelids drooped, and suddenly, without warning, she slid off her stool onto the hearth, snoring loudly. The empty bottle of butterbeer rolled away across the stone-flagged floor. Half a dozen house-elves came hurrying forward, looking disgusted. One of them picked up the bottle, the others covered Winky with a large checked tablecloth, and tucked the ends in neatly, hiding her from view.
"We're sorry you had to see that, sirs and miss,"
squeaked a nearby elf, shaking his head and looking very ashamed.
"We is hoping you will not judge us all by Winky, sirs and miss."
"She's unhappy," said Hermione, exasperated. "Why don't you try and cheer her up instead of covering her up?"
"Begging your pardon, miss,"
said the house-elf, bowing deeply again.
"But house-elves has no right to be unhappy when there is work to be done and masters to be served."
"Oh, for heaven's sake," said Hermione angrily. "Listen to me, all of you. You've got just as much right as wizards to be unhappy. You've got the right to wages and holidays and proper clothes. You don't have to do everything you're told. Look at Dobby."
"Miss will please keep Dobby out of this,"
Dobby mumbled, looking scared. The cheery smiles had vanished from the faces of the house-elves around the kitchen. They were suddenly looking at Hermione as though she was mad and dangerous.
"We has your extra food,"
squeaked an elf at Harry's elbow, and he shoved a large ham, a dozen cakes, and some fruit into Harry's arms.
"Goodbye!"
The house-elves crowded around Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and began shunting them out of the kitchen, many little hands pushing in the smalls of their backs.
"Thank you for the socks, Harry Potter!"
Dobby called miserably from the hearth, where he was standing next to the lumpy tablecloth that was Winky.
"You couldn't keep your mouth shut, could you, Hermione?" said Ron angrily, as the kitchen door slammed shut behind them. "They won't want us visiting them now. We could have tried to get more stuff out of Winky about Crouch."
"Oh, as if you care about that!"
scoffed Hermione. "You only like coming down here for the food!" It was an irritable sort of day after that. Harry got so tired of Ron and Hermione sniping at each other over their homework in the common room that he took Sirius food up to the owlery that evening on his own. Pigwidgeon was much too small to carry an entire ham up to the mountain by himself, so Harry enlisted the help of two school screech owls as well. When they had set off into the dusk, looking extremely odd carrying the large package between them, Harry leaned on the window-sill, looking out at the grounds, at the dark, rustling tree-tops of the Forbidden Forest, and the rippling sails of the Durmstrang ship. An eagle-owl flew through the coil of smoke rising from Hagrid's chimney. It soared towards the castle, around the owlery, and out of sight. Looking down, Harry saw Hagrid digging energetically in front of his cabin. Harry wondered what he was doing. It looked as though he was making a new vegetable patch. As he watched, Madame Maxime emerged from the Beaubaton carriage and walked over to Hagrid. She appeared to be trying to engage him in conversation. Hagrid leant upon his spade, but did not seem keen to prolong their talk, because Madame Maxime returned to the carriage shortly afterwards. Unwilling to go back to Gryffindor Tower and listen to Ron and Hermione snarling at each other, Harry watched Hagrid digging until the darkness swallowed him, and the owls around Harry began to awake, swooshing past him into the night.